Hello, and welcome back to your GCSE Physics Revision Podcast. I'm so glad you're here because today we are diving into one of the most fascinating topics in the entire specification, atomic structure. This is OCR Topic 7.1, and I promise you, by the end of this episode, you will not only understand the key ideas, but you will know exactly what examiners are looking for when they set questions on this topic. Now, here's the thing about atomic structure. It is not just a list of facts to memorize. It is a detective story. Scientists spent over 100 years trying to figure out what atoms actually look like, and each time they ran an experiment, the results forced them to completely rethink everything they thought they knew. That is the beauty of science. And that detective story is exactly what OCR examiners love to test. So grab your revision notes, maybe a cup of tea, and let's get started. We have got a lot to cover. The history of atomic models, subatomic particles, isotopes, the scale of the atom, and of course, all the exam tips you need to maximize your marks. Let's start right at the beginning with the atom itself. An atom is the smallest unit of an element that retains the chemical properties of that element. Everything you can see, touch, or breathe is made of atoms. But for most of human history, we had no idea what was inside them, or even if they had an inside at all. The first scientific atomic model came from John Dalton in 1803. Dalton proposed that atoms were tiny, solid, indivisible spheres, like microscopic billiard balls. Each element had its own type of atom, and atoms could not be created, destroyed, or split. This was revolutionary for its time, and it explained chemical reactions beautifully, but it was incomplete. Then, in 1897, a physicist named J.J. Thomson made a stunning discovery. Using cathode ray tubes, essentially early television tubes, he found that atoms contained tiny, negatively charged particles. He called them electrons. This was huge. It meant atoms were not solid and indivisible after all, they had internal structure. Thomson proposed the plum pudding model in 1904. Picture a Christmas pudding, a large sphere of diffuse, uniform positive charge, that is, the pudding, with electrons dotted throughout it like raisins or plums. Crucially, and this is a point that trips up many candidates in the exam, the plum pudding model has no nucleus. The positive charge is spread evenly throughout the whole atom, please remember that. Now, here's where the detective story gets really exciting. In 1909, Ernest Rutherford, along with his assistants Hans Geiger and Ernest Marsden, set up what became one of the most famous experiments in the history of science, the alpha particle scattering experiment, also known as the gold foil experiment. Here is what they did. They fired a beam of alpha particles, which are positively charged particles, at an extremely thin sheet of gold foil, just a few atoms thick. Around the foil, they placed a circular detector screen coated in zinc sulfide, which would flash whenever an alpha particle hit it. They then sat in a darkened room and counted the flashes. Now, if the plum pudding model were correct, what would you expect to happen? The positive charge is spread thinly throughout the atom, so the alpha particles should all pass straight through with perhaps just a tiny bit of deflection. That is what Rutherford expected. But that is not what happened. The results were astonishing. The vast majority of alpha particles, we are talking about most of them, did pass straight through. But a small number were deflected at large angles, and a very tiny fraction, about 1 in every 8,000, bounced almost straight back. Rutherford famously said it was as if he had fired artillery shells at tissue paper and they had bounced back at him. What did this tell us? Let's link each observation to its conclusion, because this is exactly how examiners want you to answer these questions. Observation 1. Most alpha particles passed straight through. Conclusion. The atom is mostly empty space. Observation 2. A small number were deflected at small angles. Conclusion. There is a region of concentrated positive charge that can repel the positively charged alpha particles. Observation 3. A very small number bounced back at angles greater than 90 degrees. Conclusion. The positive charge must be concentrated in a tiny, extremely dense region at the center of the atom. This is the nucleus. Notice I said the alpha particles were deflected by electrostatic repulsion, not that they physically hit the nucleus and bounced off. That is an important distinction. Both the alpha particle and the nucleus are positively charged, so they repel each other, like charges repel. The alpha particle does not need to make contact. So Rutherford proposed the nuclear model of the atom in 1911. In this model, almost all the mass of the atom is concentrated in a tiny, dense, positively charged nucleus at the center. The electrons orbit the nucleus in the vast, empty space around it. The nucleus is incredibly small compared to the whole atom. We will talk about the scale in a moment. Then, in 1913, Niels Bohr refined the model further. He proposed that electrons do not just orbit randomly. They orbit at specific distances from the nucleus in fixed energy levels, sometimes called shells. Electrons can move between these energy levels by absorbing or emitting energy. This is the Bohr model, and it is the model most commonly used in GCSE physics. Now let's talk about what is inside the nucleus. The nucleus contains two types of particles, protons and neutrons. Protons have a relative mass of 1 and a relative charge of +1. Neutrons have a relative mass of 1 and a relative charge of 0. They are neutral. Electrons have a negligible mass, approximately 1 over 1836, and a relative charge of -1. Two key numbers define every atom. The atomic number, also called the proton number, and given the symbol Z, tells you the number of protons in the nucleus. This is what makes an element what it is. Change the number of protons, and you have a different element. The mass number, given the symbol A, tells you the total number of protons plus neutrons in the nucleus. To find the number of neutrons, you simply subtract. Neutrons equals mass number minus atomic number. So for carbon-14, the mass number is 14, and the atomic number is 6, giving us 14 minus 6 equals 8 neutrons. That calculation is worth one mark in the exam. Make sure you show you're working. Now, atoms are electrically neutral. Why? Because the number of protons, positive charges, exactly equals the number of electrons, negative charges. They cancel out. If an atom gains or loses electrons, it becomes an ion, a charged particle. Gaining electrons makes it a negative ion, losing electrons makes it a positive ion. This brings us to isotopes. Isotopes are atoms of the same element that have the same number of protons but different numbers of neutrons. Because they have the same number of protons, they are the same element and have the same chemical properties. But because they have different numbers of neutrons, they have different mass numbers. Carbon-12 and carbon-14 are classic examples. Both have 6 protons, but carbon-12 has 6 neutrons, while carbon-14 has 8 neutrons. Finally, let's talk about scale, because this is a higher tier skill that OCR loves to test. The diameter of an atom is approximately 1 times 10 to the power of minus 10 meters. That is 0.1 nanometers. Unimaginably small. But the nucleus is even smaller, approximately 1 times 10 to the power of minus 14 meters in diameter. To find the ratio, you divide 10 to the minus 10 divided by 10 to the minus 14 equals 10 to the power of 4, which is 10,000. So the atom is approximately 10,000 times larger than the nucleus. That is why the atom is mostly empty space. The nucleus is tiny, even compared to the atom itself. Right, let's talk exam technique, because knowing the content is only half the battle. Tip number one, when describing the alpha scattering experiment, always link your observation directly to your conclusion. Do not just say, some particles bounced back. Say, a small number of alpha particles were deflected at angles greater than 90 degrees, which suggests the positive charge is concentrated in a tiny, dense nucleus. Observation, then conclusion. That is how you get full marks on a 6-mark question. Tip number two, never describe the plum pudding model as having a nucleus. This is one of the most common errors I see. The whole point of the plum pudding model is that the positive charge is spread throughout the atom. There is no nucleus. If you write the plum pudding model has a nucleus, you will lose marks. Tip number three, do not say alpha particles hit or bounce off the nucleus. The correct language is deflected by electrostatic repulsion. The like charges, both positive, repel each other. That is the mechanism. Tip number four, when calculating neutrons, always write out the subtraction explicitly. Neutrons equals mass number minus atomic number. Show the numbers. Examiners award the mark for the correct calculation, and showing you're working protects you if you make an arithmetic error. Tip number five, for 6-mark questions on the history of atomic models, structure your answer chronologically. Dalton, then Thomson, then Rutherford, then Bohr. For each model, state what it proposed and what evidence led to it being changed. That structure will naturally earn you the marks. Tip number six, for standard form questions on atomic scale, remember, the atom is about 10 to the minus 10 meters, and the nucleus is about 10 to the minus 14 meters. The ratio is 10 to the power of 4, or 10,000. Practice writing these in standard form. The examiner will expect it. Time for a quick fire quiz. I will ask the question, give you 3 seconds to think, then give the answer. Ready? Question 1. What is the relative charge of a neutron? 0. Neutrons are neutral. Question 2. In the plum pudding model, where is the positive charge? Spread throughout the whole atom, not in a nucleus. Question 3. What does the atomic number tell you? The number of protons in the nucleus. Question 4. An atom of chlorine-35 has an atomic number of 17. How many neutrons does it have? 35 minus 17 equals 18 neutrons. Question 5. Why did most alpha particles pass straight through the gold foil? Because the atom is mostly empty space. Question 6. What is the approximate diameter of an atom in standard form? 1 times 10 to the minus 10 meters. How did you do? If you got all 6, you are in great shape. If you missed any, go back and review that section of your notes. Let's wrap up with the key takeaways from today's episode. 1. The history of atomic models follows this sequence: Dalton's solid sphere, Thomson's plum pudding, Rutherford's nuclear model, and Bohr's model with energy levels. Know the evidence that changed each model. 2. The alpha scattering experiment proved the nucleus is tiny, dense, and positively charged. Link every observation to its conclusion. 3. Protons have charge plus 1 and mass 1. Neutrons have charge 0 and mass 1. Electrons have charge minus 1 and negligible mass. 4. Neutrons equals mass number minus atomic number. Show you're working. 5. Isotopes have the same number of protons but different numbers of neutrons. 6. The atom is approximately 10,000 times larger than the nucleus. The atom is mostly empty space. That is everything you need for OCR Topic 7.1. You have got this. Keep revising, keep practicing past papers, and remember, every mark counts. Good luck, and I will see you in the next episode.